I'm Richard Pyatt. Thanks for joining us once again on Inside Calhoun County, the official podcast series of Calhoun County, Michigan. If you've been with us on some of our prior episodes, you might recall we spoke with Calhoun County Administrator Controller Kelly Scott not long ago, an overall discussion. And a part of that discussion was a reference to the Opioid Settlement Funds Steering Committee in Calhoun County. And today we will pick up with more detail on the charge of that particular panel and why it exists. And let me just start off with this particular stat, which is as follows. The Substance Abuse Council in Calhoun County points to our county as second only to Wayne in opioid overdoses. So just let that settle in a second. As you imagine, all of the 80-some counties in Michigan, Calhoun County is second in this problem. Here to talk about that is our Calhoun County Administrator Controller, Kelly Scott, and Amy Delinke, who also is a co-chair in this particular panel, the Settlement Funds Steering Committee. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
What is the point? What is the charge of this steering committee? And when we talk about opioid settlement funds, Kelly, what do we really mean?
Calhoun County is part of a national movement to try to address drug overdoses that have grown exponentially over the past several years. Last year, more than 112,000 people nationwide died from drug overdoses. A little bit more local in Michigan, nearly 3,000. And as you pointed out, our county also has higher than proportionate overdose-related deaths based on our population. And so there was a lawsuit initiated in 2021, actually several of them, by states and local governments against the largest pharmaceutical distributors, as well as manufacturers and pharmacies, with the assumption that there is some culpability in their behaviors that were leading to the growth of these horrible deaths. So obviously human behavior is different, but the lawsuits were brought by the states and local governments to help at least make sure that they were being responsible and doing their part and realizing that to some extent, it's too late. The deaths that have happened already happened, and there should be some settlement, some funding to at least put back money into the states and local communities to help us try to pick up the pieces and change the future. You know, we can't change the past. But so those lawsuits happened in 2023. Payments started coming to local governments in Michigan. The total is about $1.5 billion expected, and about half of that is coming to local governments, including counties, some cities and some townships. And so shortly thereafter, our county, and I would say probably most counties in Michigan and across the United States, have attempted to form steering committees or some fashion similar to get community input to do what is really the most difficult piece, and that is to collaborate among providers. You know, it's hard enough to try to run your own organization if you're a substance use provider or a prevention provider. What's even more difficult is to insist that you get together and talk about data sharing and talk about sharing staff, potentially sharing funding with local governments and nonprofits, just because, you know, our policies, our funding methods, our sometimes union agreements just aren't built that way. So the steering committee is an attempt to really coordinate and focus those efforts and help to advise the county board of commissioners, who has the responsibility to appropriate these funds, in how to invest our portion. And our portion is expected to be about $11.5 million. You know, it's coming in different amounts annually over the next 18 years, but we have an average of about $700,000 a year to do the best we can to make a difference in Calhoun County.
So, Amy, the charge then is to use this money over these years to try and affect these outcomes and improve these numbers, I presume. Is that correct?
Absolutely. The goal of the funds is to really get them as close to the individuals most profoundly impacted by the drug overdose crisis as possible. So focusing on activities that align with prevention, harm reduction, treatment, and recovery, but really paying attention to local resources that are already available, gaps in services that may exist, and really just to understand the experiences of people with lived experience with substance use in the local community, and being able to better understand what solutions can really create the best outcomes, not just in fatal and non-fatal overdose, but really in quality of life as well.
And this is the charge that you have now, Kelly, is how to try to figure out how to deliver these and have the most impact. Is that fair to say?
Yes, the problem is not new, and most key community leaders in Calhoun County have recognized it for years and have taken a lot of steps with a local group called the Calhoun County Opioid Coalition, with a lot of leadership from our medical director, Dr. Will Nettleton, who also serves as Kalamazoo County's medical director. There have been efforts over the years. Now, you know, fortunately, we have some additional funding. And so I usually talk about, I heard from a county official from another state who was doing a webinar, and his son died of an overdose. And he and his wife at the funeral said they just couldn't get out of their head, what one more thing could we have done? And I think that's where we're at Calhoun County. Despite all of these efforts, every additional overdose, every additional death, collectively, we're trying to say, okay, now we have a little bit more funding. Funding's not always the answer. Sometimes it takes staffing and space and all of that. But if we can, you know, do one more thing to save one more life, that's what we're hoping to accomplish with these one-time restricted funds.
Amy, where are we now with this project? The steering committee has been assembled. And what have you been able to accomplish so far? And how do you see it going forward?
So far, the group has a really diverse group, fantastic representation from stakeholders across the community in various different fields. That group has really been focused in the last few meetings, especially on understanding what local data exists. So we have a lot of providers in the room and really want to be able to see what data they have access to really understand better where those gaps and needs are that are coming to the surface in each of those individual spaces across all of the sectors, and then really collectively as a steering committee. So the next steps for the group will be really to continue assessing that data, understanding local needs, and then move into a place of using some of the existing tools that have already taken place. So strategic plans or action plans that may already exist, being able to pull all of that information together to then move forward with identifying specific priorities. So we know that the amount of money that's available cannot address this crisis alone. And it's going to take other funding sources. It's going to take many providers across the county working together, as Kelly mentioned, to be able to address it. And so in order to move from those priorities, the hope would be then to release a request for proposals to the community to allow for providers to apply for those funds specifically based on the priorities and needs determined by that steering committee.
So the data then should show should reveal some paths, shall we say, about how the money should be concentrated to address the problem. Is that a fair way to characterize that?
Yes, I think partly because of this new additional funding, there have been a lot of increased efforts on providing data and synthesizing it and doing some benchmarking. And so we have really great data. Our medical examiner office, which is the Western Michigan School of Medicine, they have incredible data that reviews case by case some of the factors that may have led to the person's death. And so by looking at all of the data, by geography, by demographics, you know, age, race, all kinds of information, those do tend to point out focus areas. For example, if someone lives far enough from somewhere where they can get a syringe program that we have at the health department, for example, which is really only in Battle Creek now, if someone lives far enough from Battle Creek that they can't access that readily and we don't have a countywide public transportation system, that will show in the data. And so one of the reasons that the data is pointing to is that we have pretty good resources for prevention and treatment and recovery in Calhoun County. There seems to be a disconnect in connecting all of the dots and for individuals to access some of those services. There are some areas that I think will become clearer as we continue that can be added to. So we could provide more naloxone or Narcan kits, for example. The medical examiner's office said out of all of the people that died from overdoses last year, only 40% of them had the Narcan administered. And so there's an opportunity there to increase the quantity, the availability, the training, so that more overdoses can be reversed. That's just one example. So we are, I am really encouraged, even just with the few meetings so far, to have all of those really smart, really dedicated people in the room that are now talking to each other, the hospitals, the jail administrators. We've already invested, the county has already invested some of those funds in putting a medication-assisted treatment program in the jail that just started last month, so that individuals that are incarcerated, that are addicted to opioids, can continue and or start new medication to help them get off of that without severe results. And then once they get out of jail, resources to hand them off to the appropriate treatment and recovery providers to continue that. So there have been strides made already. We still have a long way to go, but I've been really encouraged about some of just the organic conversations that have happened about, I mentioned data sharing, you know, to have our mental health provider Summit Point and have the hospitals and the Victory Clinic start to talk about how they could maybe better share data so that persons that have multiple providers can be cared for with some continuity and some focus. So those are just some examples. I mentioned transportation. It seems to be a barrier in our county that is pointed to often and seems to be highlighted as something that potentially new funds could address.
You know, it's interesting because number one, Wayne County, I don't know, is very surprising just by virtue of the largest urban, densely urban area in Michigan. Is there something about Calhoun County that puts us at number two on that list that is bearing out in the data that you've seen, or maybe you haven't seen it yet? Either one of you might have a perspective on that. What is special about us?
Well, first of all, there are a lot of different statistics, so I don't know that I've seen that one, but I have seen a lot of statistics that say, you know, Calhoun County has too many overdoses, too many emergency department visits, too many ambulance responses to overdoses based on statistics, based on our population. And we ask ourselves that all the time. We have asked the medical examiner's office. Some of them are just kind of the social determinants and the socioeconomic status. There is some discussion to the extent that this crisis is being sort of fueled by the synthetic drugs, fentanyl, that seems to be in most of these cases where someone overdoses, mm-hmm. that, you know, our perfect location, meaning between Chicago and Detroit and I-94 and 69, that there are too many drugs here on the streets that people are getting their hands on. So one of the first appropriations of our settlement funds from the county level was to add a sheriff's deputy to the regional drug enforcement team. That's not the only answer. This is multifaceted, but that, you know, every sort of piece that we can think of, everywhere from prevention to treatment to, you know, recovery to all of the supporting services, we're trying to address it multifaceted. And so I don't know that there's a specific answer, although, you know, we are seeing more data come out specifically by these organizations interviewing those, you know, with lived experience that are able to say, I'm still here. I lived. Thank goodness. I can tell you what I could have used a little bit more in the community, or I can tell you what would have helped me or what my challenges were. So some of that is starting to come together and is also very helpful.
It seems, Amy, that this is, I was tempted to say, a more significant part of an overall challenge we have with addiction and behavioral health and all of these other things. But clearly there was some pursuit of this legal action because the opioid issue stood out more in the overall picture of addiction. But yet, does this somehow help, do you think, shed light on just addiction in general and how we might address that going forward? Is there anything that stands out in that way?
Absolutely. The opioid settlement funds are not necessarily tied to just opioids, which I think is the most critical aspect here, because the drug landscape, the drug overdose environment has been constantly changing. And if we're looking at something long-term, 18 years worth of funding, it's really important that we are proactive as opposed to reactive or focused on a specific substance. So in the legal definition of opioid remediation, they do allow for opioid and other related disorders. So we do see the ability to address other substance use disorders and polysubstance use, so individuals that are using more than one substance. And then we're also able to look at co-occurring disorders, so individuals who have both a substance use disorder and a mental health condition. And so those are really critical and key aspects in making sure that we're able to address substance use as a whole, that we're able to address behavioral health as a whole. And again, you know, these dollars aren't going to solve the answers, but hopefully they'll allow for new approaches. And the funding is very different than typical federal funding sources. It has less restrictions. So it allows for more innovation and more specific activities to be funded that address local needs.
Kelly, I've heard you reference examples for how this money might be funneled that really go right to the folks who need it. Is there any component here, do you think there will be, that helps support other areas of response, maybe law enforcement training or things of that nature? I'm grasping for examples, but something that might augment what we're really after here, which is to try to lower these numbers.
Yes, some other examples of areas that I expect there to be requests for funds are, as you mentioned, the law enforcement and first responders are indicating a need for some life-saving equipment, let's say, that they often use when someone is overdosing and they're the first one on the scene, and not having enough of this equipment causes delays. We have heard the need for more training for responding to overdose incidents. Housing, recovery housing has come up as a resource that needs more attention, really across the nation, but specifically in Michigan. And there is a statewide advisory commission, the Opioid Advisory Commission, who is looking across the state and is providing advice to the state lawmakers, the governor's office and the legislators. And so they have already done some work, I guess, ahead of what we're doing at the local level that we can also look at and build from. And so they've identified gaps and ideas. We have in Calhoun County, we have our local tribal government involved in our steering committee. We have individuals, as I mentioned, from hospitals, from our homeless shelters, from medical providers, from our VA medical center. And so we have, I think, all the right people in the room who can affect change. And I know that they will have some very innovative and evidence-based priority requests to come in. And unfortunately, there's never enough funding, but it is really encouraging to know that we may be able to make a small difference with the money that we were entrusted with. And I also, as I mentioned at the beginning, the state of Michigan is receiving the other half of these funds. So we are also expecting and hoping to leverage and match and be able to use some of the funds once they start appropriating them to even hopefully double our effort in Calhoun County.
Amy, talking about the statewide focus on this, I presume that can be helpful because then there are some other folks with whom you can interact that can provide some perspective on what's been successful in combating this issue. Is that fair?
Yes. So we have really kind of numerous things happening at the state level. So we have the Opioid Advisory Commission that Kelly mentioned, and they just released their second annual report. So a very in-depth look at behavioral health in Michigan, some, you know, areas to focus on related to settlements. We also have the Opioids Task Force that sits under the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services that has just really reconvened a few months back and will be making some decisions about some state settlement funds. And then in my role as technical advisor with the Michigan Association of Counties, I'm working with 83% of the 83 counties. And so I'm able to at least hear from other communities on what they're seeing, what information is available. At the end of the day, this really comes down to folks that are in the local community and what their needs are. But I think we are seeing some real trends across the state. We're seeing a lot of the same types of gaps and barriers coming to the surface. And so I think that offers an opportunity to, as Kelly said, potentially leverage some of those state settlement funds, but also look at ways to collaborate locally. So been very excited that Calhoun County has tribal government involvement in the steering committee and has also been just extremely committed to transparency in this process.
Kelly, the committee has, as you pointed out, only met a few times as yet, but are there some successes, some progress that you've been able to see already?
For sure. Just having these organizations, and they're mainly the CEOs of the organization. So these are the decision makers. These are the people that can put programs in place. At the end of each committee meeting, I see some of them talking to each other, potentially, you know, for the first time to focus on, you know, things like data sharing, things like we could expand the program that you're doing, maybe in our organization. So just some organic conversations are very helpful. I mentioned that the county has already appropriated some funds just based on an initial feedback for law enforcement, but also for the really bigger impact piece, which is putting the medication assisted treatment program in the jail. So there have been some funds invested already that have started to make a difference. There have been expanded efforts since we started meeting in December. And I look forward to the potential. We're meeting once a month, and pretty soon we will be moving into the stage where we start to get requests for funds and, you know, have a spending plan for the Board of Commissioners to consider.
Yeah, and you pointed out that is the case, that this committee will then, I presume, make recommendations to the Board of Commissioners about how to proceed.
Yes, I mean, that's really why I'm there. Not that I'm the expert. Everyone else in the room knows a lot more about substance use disorder services than I do. But I'm really humbled and happy to be the one that is responsible for recommending budgets and appropriations to the county board. And so I see that as a really important role to, and I'm very happy to have Amy Dolenke with us through the Michigan Association of Counties. And she's doing that without any charge to the county. She has a grant funded, and so our taxpayers are not paying for that. And also, we're not having to use our opioid settlement funds for administrative costs. We can put them all directly to be closest to the individuals affected.
So I would direct this question to both of you. If someone's listening to this and they are impressed by the stats and they want to do something or somehow assist, what would you suggest to them?
First, I would suggest pointing them to the county's website. We are trying to be very transparent and share all of the information. We have our meeting minutes and our roster and all of the background information, our spending plan as it's evolving on the county's website. So they could probably Google Calhoun County Opioid Settlement. And interested individuals can definitely learn more about this topic. You know, they can reach out to me, and I'm happy to have a conversation. Of course, once we put, you know, a formal request for proposals out, we'll make sure that we communicate that broadly. We have about, I think, 20 individuals on our steering committee. We have continued to add, you know, a couple. I would say if someone really believes that their organization is not represented and should be, feel free to reach out. This is very much a community effort, and we want all the input that we can without obviously creating a committee too large to take any action.
I'll just add that the Michigan Association of Counties Opioid Settlement Resource Center website is a really great tool that's updated in real time, that has information, a wealth of information, including a resource library. And if folks have any kind of question, general questions about settlements or what's going on across other counties or at the state level. I'm happy to have any of those discussions, and folks can reach out to me directly through that website.
All right, and we'll be sure we link both of those websites, the county and the Michigan Association of Counties site that Amy just referred to, in the show notes for this episode. Kelly Scott, Calhoun County, Amy Delenke, Michigan Association of Counties. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.